At the highest point in Tarifa, there is an old fort built by the Moors. From atop its walls, one can catch a glimpse of Africa. Merchis the Desk, the King of Salem, sat on the wall of the fort that afternoon and felt the lavender blowing his face. The ship figured nearby, uneasy with their new owner and excited by so much change. All they wanted was food and water. Merchizeket watched a small ship that was blowing its way out of the port. He would never again see the boy, just as he had never seen Abraham again after having charged him his 1/10 fee. That was his work. The gods should not have desires because they don't have personal legends, but the kings of Salem hoped desperately that the boy would be successful. It's too bad that he's quickly going to forget my name, he thought. I should have repeated it for him. Then, when he spoke about me, he would say that I am Merchizedek, the king of Salem. He looks to the skies, feeling a bit abashed, and said, I know it's the vanity of vanities. As you said, my lord, but an old king sometimes had to take some pride in himself. How strange Africa is, thought the boy. He was sitting in the bar very much like the other bars he had seen along the narrow streets of Tangier. Some men were smoking from a gigantic pipe that they passed from one to another. In just a few hours, he had seen men walking hand in hand, women with their faces covered, the priests that climbed to the tops of the towers and chanted, as everyone about him went to their knees and placed their foreheads on the ground. A practice in infidels? He said to himself. As a child in church, he had always looked at the image of Saint Santiago Matamoros on his white horse, his short unsuited and figures such as these kneeling at his feet. The boy felt ill and terribly alone. The infidels had an evil look about them. Besides this, in the rush of his travels, he had forgotten a detail, just one detail, which could keep him away from his treasure for a long time. Only Arabic was spoken in this country. The owner of the bar approached him, and the boy pointed to a drink that had been served in the next table. It turned out to be a bitter tea. The boy preferred wine. But he didn't need to worry about that right now. What he had to be concerned about was his treasure and how he was going to go about getting it. The sail of the hit ship had left him with enough money in his pouch, and the boy knew that in money there was magic. Whoever has money is really never be alone. Before long, maybe in just a few days, he would be at the pyramids. An old man with a breastplate of gold wouldn't have lined just to acquire six ship. The old man had spoken about signs and omens, and as the boy was crossing the strait, he had thought about omens. Yes, the old man had known what he was talking about. During the time the boy had spent in the fields of Andalusia, he had become used to learning which path he should take by observing the ground and the sky. he had discovered that the presence of a certain bird meant that a snake was nearby, and that a certain scrub was a sign that there was water in the area. The ship had taught him that. If God leads the ship so well, he will also lead a man, he thought, and that made him feel better. The tea seemed less bitter. "Who are you?" he heard a voice ask him in Spanish. The boy was relieved. He was thinking about omens, and someone had appeared. "How come you speak Spanish?" he asked. And the new arrival was the young man in Western dress, but the color of his skin suggested he was from the city. He was about the same age and height as the boy. "Almost everyone here speaks Spanish. We're only 2 hours from Spain. Sit down and let me treat you to something," said the boy. "And ask for a glass of wine for me. I hate this tea." "There is no wine in this country," the young man said. The religions have forbidden it. The boy told him then that he needed to get to the pyramids. He almost began to tell about his treasure, but decided not to do so. If he did, it was possible that the Arab would want a part of it as payment for taking him there. He remembered that old man had said about offering something you didn't even have yet. "I'd like you to take me there if you can. I can pay you to serve as my guide. Do you have any idea how to get there?" the newcomer asked. The boy noticed that the owner of the bar stood nearby, listening attentively to their conversation. He felt uneasy at the man's presence, but he had found a guide, and he didn't want to miss out on an opportunity. "You have to cross the entire Sahara Desert," said the young man, "and to do that you need money. I need to know whether you have enough." The boy thought it a strange question, but he struck it in the old man, who had said that when you really want something, the universe always conspires in your favor. He took his money from his pouch and showed it to the young man. The owner of the bar came over and looked as well. The two men exchanged some words in Arabic, and the bar owner seemed irritated. "Let's get out of here," said the new arrival. "He wants us to leave." The boy was relieved. He got up to pay the bill, but the owner grabbed him and began to speak to him in an angry stream of words. The boy was strong and he wanted to retaliate. But he was in a foreign country. His new friend pushed the owner aside and pulled the boy outside of him. "He wanted your money," he said. "Tangier is not like the rest of Africa. This is a port, and every port has its turfs." The boy trusted his new friend. He had helped him out of the dangerous situation. He took out his money and counted it. "We could get to the pyramids by tomorrow," said the other, taking the money. "But I have to buy 2 camels. They walked together through the narrow streets of the Tangier. Everywhere there were stalls with items for sale. They reached the center of the large plaza where a market was held. There were thousands of people there, queuing, selling and buying. Vegetables for sale amongst dagger and carpets displaced alongside tobacco. But the boy never took his eye off his new friend. After all, he had all his money. He thought about asking him to give it back, but decided that would be unfriendly. He knew nothing about the custom of the strange land he was in. "I'll just watch him," he said to himself. He knew he was stronger than his friend. Suddenly, there in the midst Of all that confusion, he saw the most beautiful source he had ever seen. The scabbard was embossed in silver, and the handle was black and encrusted with precious stone. The boy promised himself that when he returned from Egypt, he would buy the source. Ask the owner of the store how much the source costs, he said to his friends. Then he realized that he had been distracted for a few moments. Looking at the source, his heart squeezed, as if his chest had suddenly compressed it. He was afraid to look around because he knew what he would find. He continued to look at the beautiful source for a bit longer until he summoned the courage to turn around. All around him was the market, with people coming and going, shouting and buying, and the aroma was strange food, but nowhere could he find his new companion. The boy wanted to believe that his friend had simply become separated from him by accident. He decided to stay right there and await his return. As he waited, a priest climbed to the top of the nearby tower and began his chant. Everyone in the market fell to their knees, touched their foreheads to the ground, and took up the chant. Then, like a colony of worker ants, they dismantled their stalls and left. The sun began its departure as well. The boy watched it through its trajectory for some time, until it was hidden behind the white houses surrounding the plaza. He recalled that when the sun had risen that morning, he was on another continent, still a shepherd to seek his sheep and looking forward to meet a girl. That morning, he had known everything that was going to happen to him as he walked through the familiar fields. But now, as the sun began to set, he was in a different country, a stranger in a strange land where he couldn't even speak the language. He was no longer a shepherd, and he had nothing, not even the money to return and start everything over. All this happened between sunrise and sunset. The boy thought he was feeling sorry for himself and lamenting the fact that his life could have changed so suddenly and so drastically. He was so ashamed that he wanted to cry. He had never even wept in front of his own sheep. But the marketplace was empty, and he was far from home, so he wept. He wept because God was unfair, and because this was the way God repaid those who believed in dreams. When I had my sheep, I was happy, and I made those around me happy. People saw me coming and welcomed me, he thought. But now I'm sad and alone. I'm going to become bitter and distrustful of people because one person betrayed me. I'm going to hate those who have found their treasure because I never found mine. And I'm going to hold on to what little I have because I'm too insignificant to conquer the world. He opened his pouch to see what was left of his possessions. Maybe there was a bit left of the sandwich he had eaten on a ship, but all he found was a heavy book, his jacket, and the 2 stones the old man had given to him.
As he looked at the stones, he felt relieved for some reason. He had exchanged 6 sheep for 2 precious stones that had been taken from a gold breastplate. He could sell the stone and buy a return ticket. But this time, I'll be smarter, the boy thought, removing them from the pot so he could pull them in his pocket. This was a port town, and the only trustful thing his friend had told him was the port towns were full of thieves. Now he understood why the owner of the bar had been so upset. He was trying to tell him not to trust the man. I'm like everyone else. I see the world in terms of what I would like to see happen, not to what actually does. He ran his finger slowly over the stones, sensing the temperature and feeling their surface. They were his treasure. Just handling them made him feel better. They reminded him of the old man. When you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it, he said. The boy was trying to understand the truth of what the old man had said. There he was in the empty marketplace, without a cent to his name, and with not a ship to guard through the night. But the stones were proof that he had met with a king who knew of the boy's past. They are called Urim and Thummim, and they can help you to read the omens. The boy put the stones back in the pot and decided to do an experiment. The old man had said to ask very clear questions, and to do that, the boy had to know what he wanted. So he asked the old man's blessing was still with him. He took out one of the stones and said, "Yes." "Am I going to find my treasures?" he asked. He stuck a hand into the pot and felt around for one of the stones. As he did so, both of them pushed through a hole in the pot and fell to the ground. The boy had never even noticed that there was a hole in his pot. He kneeled down to find Urim and Thummim and put them back in the pot. But as he saw them lying on the ground, another phrase came into his mind. "Learn to recognize omens and follow them," the old king had said. "An omen?" The boy smiled to himself. He picked up the two stones and put them back in his pot. He did consider manning the hole. The stones could fall through any time they wanted. He had learned that there were certain things one shouldn't ask about, so as not to flee from one's own personal legend. "I promised that I would make my own decisions," he said to himself. But the stones had told him that the old man was still with him, and that made him feel more confident. He looked around at the empty blazar again, feeling less desperate than before. This wasn't a strange play. It was a new one. After all, what he had always wanted was just that, to know the new places, even if he never got to the pyramids. He had already traveled farther than any shepherd he knew. Oh, if they only knew how different things are just 2 hours by ship from where they are, he thought. Although his new world, what at the moment was just an empty market, he had already seen it. And when it was teeming with life, he would never forget it. He remembered the short. It hurt him a bit to think about it, but he had never seen one like that before. As he mused about these things, he realized that he had to choose between thinking of himself as a poor victim of a thief and as an adventurer in quest of his treasure. "I'm an adventurer looking for the treasure," he said to himself. He was shaken into wakefulness by someone. He had fallen asleep in the middle of the marketplace, and the life in the plaza was about to resume. Looking around, he sought his ship and then realized that he was in the new world. But instead of being saddened, he was happy. He no longer had to seek out food and water for the ship. He could go and search for his own treasure instead. He had not a cent in his pocket, but he had a faith. He had decided the night before that he would be as much an adventurer as the ones he had admired in the book. He walked slowly through the market. The merchants were assembling their stalls, and the boy helped the candy seller to do this. The candy seller had a smile on his face. He was happy, aware of what his life was about, and ready to begin the day of work. His smile reminded the boy's old man, the mysterious old king he had met. This candy merchant isn't making candy so that later he can travel or marry a shopkeeper's daughter. He's doing it because it's what he wants to do, thought the boy. He realized that he could do the same things the old man had done. Sense whether a person was near to or far from his personal legend, just by looking at them. Easy. And yet, I've never done it before, he thought. When the store was assembled, the candy seller offered the boy his first sweet he had made for the day. The boy thanked him, ate it, and went on his way. When he had gone only a short distance, he realized that while they were erecting the store, one of them had spoken Arabic and the other Spanish, and they had understood each other perfectly well. There must be a language that doesn't depend on words, the boy thought. I've already had the experience with my ship, and now it's happening with people. He was all learning a lot of new things. Some of them were things that he had already experienced, and wasn't really new, but that he had never perceived before. And he hadn't perceived them because he had become accustomed to them. He realized, if I can learn to understand this language without words, I can learn to understand the world. Relaxed and unhurried, he resolved that he could walk through the narrow streets of Tangier. Only in the way would he be able to read the omens. He knew it would require a lot of patience, but Shepherd know all about patience. Once again he saw it. In that strange land, he was applying the same lessons he had learned with his ship. All things are one, the old man had said.